Welcome to the Sunday Special. Today we're taking a look at Podium, Volume 1, and the second year of the Podium Foundation. Podium, a literary journal, is produced by Richmond Public High School students. I'm going to read you the letter from the founders, co-founders of Podium Foundation, and then we will go to interviews with David L. Robbins and Lindy Baumgardner, the co-founders, and one of the writers and editors, Vermon Miller. Rick Ryder is your interviewer. Then we have Don Dale interviewing Tucker McNeil, a board member of the Podium Foundation. First, from the Volume 1 edition. Though the Podium Foundation was born out of need, it will flourish from passion and talent. The students whose lives and art are displayed in this inaugural Podium Journal have laid themselves open for you through their poetry, prose, and imagery. You will see here rawness and native skill, subtlety and fierceness. The students of Richmond's public high schools are like teenagers everywhere. They yearn to be engaged and recognized. They believe in themselves. They question themselves and their world. Dear reader, you will find on these pages attempts to depict and persuade. You will either reshape your opinion of these students or solidify the one you already held. In either case, you won't avoid being moved. It's important you know that Richmond Public School students did everything you see here. They created hundreds of stories, poems, opinions, and pictures. Student panels edited and selected the submissions from their peers, then designed the final booklet. The Podium Foundation had several indispensable allies in helping the students along the way. The Visual Arts Center supplied design training and computers. VCU provided workspace and volunteers. Richmond Public Schools gave us their cooperation, guidance, teachers, and wonderful kids. Volunteers, board members, parents, donors, mentors, dozens of hearts and minds went into crafting this journal. This is only the Podium Foundation's first year. There will be many more. We already have plans to expand our reach and our programs. We will continue to advocate and provide opportunities for city students to write and express themselves creatively. We'll open more volunteer opportunities for the caring citizens of Richmond. We welcome partnerships, volunteers, donors, anyone who shares our belief that Richmond students deserve the same breaks, the same resources as every other kid in Central Virginia. All best, with thanks, David L. Robbins, Chair, and Lindy M. Baumgardner, Executive Director.
I'm Rick Ryder for the Virginia Voice. With us in the studio today, David Robbins. What's the Podium Foundation, David?
The Podium Foundation was founded with a very important mission. I think the Richmond Public Schools, not unlike any urban school system nationwide, is very open about the fact that they need community involvement to do their mission. Richmond Public Schools is not alone in this, and they're not shy or recalcitrant about it at all. They're very open about the fact that they need community involvement. They have a very important mission, and it's no secret that it's under challenging circumstances, even in the best of times. You combine the fact that there's this economic downturn, which strikes states and communities really hard. Richmond Public Schools does the best job they can with some difficult circumstances, but some great raw material. The kids that go to Richmond Public Schools, as kids are great. The teachers are committed. The administration is committed. But they need the community's help, community buy-in. Podium is an example of that community buy-in. I was asked a couple years ago to take a look. I was have been writer-in-residence at William & Mary. And I was asked to take a look at Richmond Public High School's writing programs, get a sense of what was going on. And what became clear is that Richmond Public Schools, and in this instance specifically the high schools, were finding it difficult to give their charges, their kids, enough opportunities to write, not just in the classroom, but extracurricular as well. There's reasons for that, and we can go into them later or not, but the salient point here is that if you can't communicate effectively, if you can't make a presentation effectively orally or on the page, this economy today is gonna limit you. And so what we're trying to do is give the kids in Richmond Public High Schools every opportunity to practice the art, the craft, the skill of writing. We also have a program which we can talk about called the T3 Academy, Teaching the Teachers, where we're giving support, professional support, to teachers to encourage and empower them to teach writing in the high schools. So Podium is at its core a grassroots community response to the need that Richmond Public High Schools is, again, candid about, that they need buy-in from the community. What we chose, and I'm a professional writer, and maybe obviously that was my proclivity, but what we've chosen to do is encourage and support writing programs at Richmond Public High Schools. We do that in a number of ways. The first way we do it, our sort of flagship program, is our Podium Literary Journal. And as far as I know, we're the only citywide literary journal in the United States. No other city in America has a literary journal like Podium where every high school and every high school student can participate. It's open across. We have 8 high schools, roughly 7,500 kids, and every one of these kids has the opportunity to write or create a piece of artwork that can be included in the journal. No other city in America does that I know of. What this does is it, and to be candid, Rick, we can only publish 40, 45 kids. I mean, you know, it's a journal.
Yeah.
What matters here is not that every kid gets published and exposed. What matters is the stories of this community are told by members of the community. You see, there are barriers that surround this community. And what something like Podium does is it crosses those barriers. A guy like you, a guy like me, we can go to a grocery store, bookstore, any of the places where the Podium Journal will be, and you can pick it up and you can read the stories that, from these kids' own hands and hearts. Now, conversely, it's just as important that the kids themselves see and hear their stories told, because they don't feel isolated. Because let's face it, isolation is a terrible thing. And again, these schools operate under a lot of challenges, and these kids grow up in communities that have their own challenges. And to have a success story like having your work or your neighbor's work or somebody you know to see their work published in the Podium Literary Journal, it's uplifting, it's empowering, and it breaks down barriers. We can see them and hear them, and they can see and be heard. Podium is first and foremost a response to a community need to give these kids quasi-professional experiences, you know, because we teach them to edit, we do teach them to write. We give the teachers all the support we can give them to help them have techniques and tactics for teaching writing in the classrooms. We advocate writing programs. We talk to the school board. We talk to the administrator. We're doing everything we can from the grassroots up to strengthen the incidence and quality of writing and writing teaching in the city high schools. I'll breathe now.
Podium is available to the general public?
Yes. Our literary journal, first, as I said, it's available for participation for right. every Richmond Public High School student.
But the end product?
The end product, which we will publish 20,000 copies. These 20,000 copies are in 4 color. They are stunning. They're really visually stunning. And I'm going to give props to the VCU Design Center, John Malinowski, and his students. They did when you see the Podium Journal, you hold it in your hands. It is a remarkable document. These are available across the city for free. We're going to put several thousand in the high schools so that every high school student who wants one has one.
Mm-hmm.
And the remainder will be given away to the city at large free. They'll be in grocery stores, bookstores, and libraries.
That must mean an awful lot to a student who walks into a library or a store and sees their effort in what is obviously a very sophisticated format.
We hear stories all the time. Myself as chairman, my executive director, Lindy Bumgarner, she's in the schools a lot, and we hear stories all the time that tug at our hearts. Last year, for instance, one comes to mind. A teacher told us this, that a student came up to the teacher and asked to borrow $2. The teacher said, why? And the kid said, well, my poem was not accepted into the literary journal Podium, and I want to practice so I can get better. Another kid walked up to the teacher and tried to give the journal back, and the teacher said, that's yours, you keep that. And the kid clutched it. it meant so much to this child to have this thing for free, and it meant so much. We have teachers, and I hope this will increase in incidence. We have teachers who are beginning to use the Podium Journal as a textbook to teach writing, creative writing and expository writing in their own classrooms, teaching this very, very valuable, I think irreducible skill, and using the Podium Journal as a textbook for it. I'm over the moon excited about the possibilities of that.
I understand how you can have that today, but how did you start it? Because that's a monumental undertaking to get within an organization like a school and with another kind of audience, which is the student, and from that end up with this marvelous publication. How did it work?
Well, and that's a great question, Brick, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm fundraising, I tell people they've got to keep Podium alive because somebody else, if we fail, someone else has got to do year one. And I would wish that on anybody. I mean, I read recently that nonprofits and charities and service organizations like our own require 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5 years before you even begin to get traction in the city schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just entering now year three. We've just about wrapped up year two. We've got a few more programs to go. But this year's journal, the second journal, is ready to go. We'll be handing it out. It's a remarkable document. I think the people involved have done a great job. But I will tell you that consistency and continuity is the most important thing any nonprofit organization can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
These kids and these teachers, again, I repeat, challenging circumstances, the administration, the mayor, the superintendent of schools, her administration, they see Samaritans come and go all the time. Richmond's a wonderful city, and we have good hearts, and we try hard to help each other. We really do. I love living here, and it's one of the reasons why. But there are challenges, and there are systemic challenges to creating an organizational effort to help your neighbor. They're tough. And so because of the nature of the challenges of forming these kind of organizations, they fail with no small amount of irregularity. That being said, so let's take the perspective of a kid. Kid gets all amped up about a program. Ooh, I want to be in Podium. Ooh, I want to be in this, that, and the other. And then it disappears after a year or two, and their hearts are broken,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that happens a lot, too much, frankly. Podium is struggling really hard not to be on that casualty list. It's important to us that when we go back to a high school for year three, the freshmen who worked with us this year are sophomores now. The eighth graders who heard about us are now ninth graders, and they want to partake. The seniors, we wish them well, but the juniors we worked with, they need to have us there too, because we're creating leaders in the high schools for Podium clubs. Our name is spreading to the teachers, and we're working so hard to have a good name. But it is candidly an uphill battle, not because anybody intends it to be so, but frankly, because it is difficult to mesh an organization like Podium, which is new, with an organization that's Leviathan, like Richmond Public Schools. We ask for emails, and we ask for timely information, and we ain't the only bug on their windshield. We're just not, you know? And so we need to move forward. We've got our needs and our time frames and our volunteers and our schedule. And getting them to recognize that we're there for them, fair enough. I mean, because they got a lot of balls in the air. It takes a while for them to go, oh, Podium, know who we are, know what we represent, know how to reach us. And I think the watchword is trust. And I work hard, my board works hard, and my executive director works really hard to establish and warrant the trust that we need to do this for them.
From day one contact to trust was how long a time?
Another year and a half, maybe. No, we haven't gotten there yet. We have teachers that are still skeptical that will disappear. We have students who are skeptical and don't really quite understand the depth of what we can, you know, what writing can mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet. We're still recruiting teacher at a time. I mean, these teachers, to be fair to them, they're up to their eyeballs most of the time. And for us to walk up and say, hey, we've got this literary journal. We want you to be on the lookout for promising poetry, short stories. We want you to assign your kids essay tests and essays. anybody who walks up to Richmond Public High School teacher and asks for anything had best be prepared for, at best, an uneven set of answers. And that's fair to them because they do heroic work. And we're trying to help, but you've got to be around for a couple years before you recognize as being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
This is no one's fault. This is just systemic. This is part of – they have to focus. Let me say for the record that I have met some of the most dedicated and I'm not just blowing smoke here. I mean really dedicated, heroic people in the Richmond Public High Schools. I single out Dr. Vicki Oakley. I single out Superintendent Yvonne Brandon. I've met a handful of school board members, and they are – and, of course, you know, many, many teachers. They are, without exception, dedicated and caring professionals. And we're really trying to get their back and support them, again, from a grassroots posture. But to be fair to them, if they look back at me and just go, you know, you're going to have to prove yourself to me, I'm down with that challenge, and so is my board.
Mm-hmm. How many people are involved in this now, and how many students, and
sure.
How many different classrooms?
We we have 16 board members. We have probably a cadre of 20 to 30 volunteers. We're open to all 7,500 kids. Last year, in our first year, we only worked with four of the five comprehensive high schools, Thomas Jefferson, John Marshall, Huguenot, and George Wythe. This year, we added Armstrong and the three smaller schools, Franklin Military, Open, and Community. So we expanded to all the high schools, all eight high schools. Last year, we had about 400 submissions from the four high schools. This year, we had about 1,100 submissions from all eight high schools. George Wythe gets singled out for that because they alone, their podium club and our VCU mentors that we send into the school, they generated over 300 submissions. I'm looking for that to grow every year. I'm looking for 2,000 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sky's the limit, we hope. In answer to the question, I think that it's fair to say that we have had well over 500 people that touch podium this year, and I'm looking for that to double every year.
You said VCU?
Yeah, VCU. They love us. We have really been fortunate in our partnerships, and VCU I have to just take my hat off to. In addition to communities and schools, and RPS itself, and all of the donors that help us out. In terms of boots on the ground, VCU has just moved mountains. Tim Halsey is on my board. He is the dean of the Honors College at VCU. His Honors College has adopted Podium as one of their official charities. So what we do, and again, under the stewardship of Lindy Bumgarner, my executive director, teams of two, three, or four VCU Honors College students go into each of these eight high schools. They work with the podium clubs. They mentor the kids. They sit in on the meetings. And it's important to note that for the Literary Journal, the kids do all the work. They do all the writing, all the drawing, all the editing, all the design, well, most of the time, because the design, again, is done in conjunction with VCU's design school, and all the selection. So the journal is, as much as we can make it, is a true result of Richmond Public High School students' expression, their creative and artistic expression. VCU says no to nothing for us. They give us office space. They give us staff. They give us volunteers. They have been – I can't say enough about what kind of partner they've been.
Mm. It's a great institution.
You know, and getting more so all the time.
Yeah.
And that comes from a William & Mary man.
Okay, if I want to get a hold of one of your publications, is there a way for me to
to
make a contact?
Well, there's a couple different venues. One is our electronic version, which is our website,
mm-hmm.
simply podiumfoundation.com. And you will be able to see last year's journal and read all of the stuff that was published last year. You'll be able to hear this interview as well as others that are coming up. So the website, podiumfoundation.com, is a really good place to get to know who we are, and I won't be shy. It's also a good place to donate. For the journal, they will be available probably through midsummer in area grocery stores, all bookstores, and all local libraries. They're free. Pick one up. Share it with your friends.
David, you're now at year two or year three?
We are at the end of year two, on the cusp of year three.
Okay. What's different now than when you started? Because starting one of these with all the contacts you have to make, getting a big enough size to be able to really accomplish this quickly, to me seems a Herculean effort.
The first big difference between year one and year two is we've expanded our programs. In year one, the vision we had was getting the kids to write and create artwork and then publish it. That was...
That in itself is a Herculean task.
That was up there with the stables, yeah.
Yeah.
And was it Persephone he rescued from the underworld?
I believe so, yes.
With that, yeah.
Okay.
But then we actually pulled that off, much to our shock. The opportunity came to hire our executive director full-time, Lindy Bumgarner, and she's marvelous. And so we took on the responsibility and the salary of hiring a full-time executive director.
Well, prior to that, then, you have to have raised funds.
Yeah, we did raise funds. And in year one, Lindy was really generous and worked with us for not much. And a lot of us pitched in and did a whole lot of different things. But then we found we had need... and the schools had need, and the schools had room for us to continue to grow in our programs. And so we've created a couple other programs, not the least of which is this partnership with Virginia Voice. We take the each year's journal, and we're debuting it this year, early in the season at Dogwood Dell. And we call it Podium Live, and a live stage performance of the journal will be on Dogwood Dell stage every year. This year's is June 13th. So that's going to be a wonderful program. Get the kids some applause and get, you know, and let their families sit in the audience and clap for them and their teachers, we hope. One of our programs that's really dear to my heart is what we call the T3 Academy, the Teaching the Teachers. And it has a real interesting derivation. I was coming back from a trip to New York, and I walked through the airport, and sitting there waiting for her sister was Dr. Brandon, Yvonne Brandon, the soup. And she invited me to sit next to her, and we talked for a little while. And I asked her, I said, Yvonne, do you know how many creative writing teachers you have in the city of Richmond? She said, oh, I'm not going to like the answer, am I? I go, no, ma'am, you have one. And he's on my board. And she actually was very, very, very quick on the uptake about this. And I didn't have to do a lot of salesmanship or talking at all. We immediately focused on what we found to be was a systemic issue. And I want to harp on the word systemic. These things aren't isolated. It's bred into the system. I asked her, I said, Yvonne, why aren't the kids learning to write? And she said, well, because the teachers themselves are A, so occupied, and B, typically don't have the time or the background themselves as writers. They're talented and committed teachers. But oftentimes writing... And in our culture, I think this is an unfortunate thing, but professional writing and creative writing have both kind of waned at the educational level. And again, this isn't special or endemic to Richmond. This is nationwide. Anybody will tell you that there's a whole generation out there that is not learning to write. And Yvonne, being a visionary, and I having this as my agenda, we were of like mind really quickly. We came up with this thing we call the T3 Academy, Teaching the Teachers. And in a nutshell, and I'm very proud of this program because, again, it expands our programs beyond the students and starts really getting at the underpinnings of how to help this community of students and teachers. With VCU staff, we have three tenured staff. Two tenured and one who just won a Fulbright, but they're going to be our staff. And 30 teachers, 15 high school, 15 middle school, across all genres, history, art, English. They are going to be studying in the T3 Academy in a five-day intensive academy, 5-6 hours a day, tactics, techniques about how to encourage writing in their classrooms, strategies. The teachers themselves are going to create work. Everything from college essays, college entrance essays, to a poem. A kid can benefit from putting pen to page. A kid can benefit from turning his or her mind loose on an idea and then discovering ways to put it on a paper. Teachers can benefit from the same thing. And we are really excited about this because you asked me earlier about buy-in, about what does it take for a grassroots organization like Podium to become really a partner with Richmond Public Schools. I think the T3 Academy is going to go miles down that road, because we're going to have 30 teachers. We're going to spend a lot of resources on them. We're going to keep them. We're going to keep up with them through the year. They'll be professional. They're continuing professional education that RPS will coordinate with us to do. We're going to create a cadre every year of 30 teachers who know Podium, who I hope will have reason to trust and like Podium. Then they will take that message into the schools. And I think that you give us 30, 60, 90, again, the 3 to 5 year thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let us get solid. You know, let us get some concrete under us, and we'll create a cadre in our partnerships with RPS, with VCU, with our corporate donors. We'll create a cadre of committed, well, the teachers are already committed, and please don't think that I'm saying anything to the opposite. I'm not meaning to imply these teachers are not gifted and committed and dedicated to their jobs. But writing has been overlooked, and it's nationwide. And we're really only focusing on that. I want to be clear that I'm not expressing any lack of confidence in the teachers. But there's a nationwide pandemic that has turned its back on the arts. And I don't view writing as an art alone. Again, there's a reason why colleges ask for essays. The ability to express, the ability to analyze and synthesize and can turn it into language, it's an irreducible skill in this economy and in this culture. That's what we're focusing on. And the T3 Academy, I think, is going to go a long way towards creating generally positive view of teaching writing and learning writing between the students and the kids. I think it's going to be invaluable, and I'm excited.
Off-the-wall question. Today's technology versus you sitting down behind your typewriter to do your first piece of writing, help, hindrance, or does it mean the individual is the important thing?
I think hindrance. I think that the old school is not always the best school. But an email, text messaging, I think that they are flattening out rhetoric. I think that an email becomes such a glib thing and a quick thing, and it doesn't require a great amount of, let's face it, it doesn't require the scritching of a quill, and it doesn't require Churchill's manic attention to detail or the eloquence of a Kennedy or a Reagan or an Obama. Eloquence is on the wane. Written eloquence is on life support.
Mm.
And I really think the technology is contributing to the demise of the written word. Because when you say see you later, and you have a C, and a U, and an LTR, hell, spelling may be on the run. I don't know. But I do think that writing skills are being undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
And Podium, that's the breach, Brick. That's the breach that Podium has stepped into.
We've been talking to David Robbins. We've been talking about something rather new in Richmond, Virginia. It's called Podium. Our next guest is Lindy Bumgardner, who is the executive director and co-founder of the Podium Foundation, and from the Podium Foundation, an editor and a contributor, Jermond Miller. Thank you for coming to Voice. Lindy, how long have you been with the group?
Since the beginning, when we founded in 2008.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a pretty exciting ride, hasn't it?
It actually has. It's amazing to get to work with the students, which is one of my primary jobs, working with students like Jermond from George Wythe and all 7 of the public high schools in the Richmond Public Schools system. And we just, as of last night at about 11:30 p.m., checked the press sheets for the Podium Journal Volume 2, which will be distributed this year through Dogwood Dell on June 13th, and also through the Richmond Public School System and the Richmond community at large.
Jermond, how did you get involved in it?
Last year when it first started and it came to our school, we was asked by our English teachers if we wanted to be a part of a foundation that helped us basically enhance our skills as writers and editors. So I thought about it, and I was on the debate team with Lindy Bumgardner and David Roberts. So I went on, and I said, well, this might be a fun activity to do, mm-hmm. and it's something to help you, and it's good to have on your background for going to college.
So how did it present itself to you? Was it in the class or out of the class or all the time?
It was out of the class, after school activity. And then after being a part of it for a while, I started to make it in class too, as well as also being a contributor and a writer to give work to the program. I also helped during the school day to get more artwork in and more pieces in to turn in to possibly get submissions into the book.
To be included in the next edition journal. Of the book. Mm-hmm. What kind of a reaction did you get out of your classmates when, I mean, you're walking in here with a brand new idea. Were you received okay, or what's this new thing? I mean, because you guys have a pretty loaded amount of time anyway.
Most classmates was receptive to the fact of the program, but it wasn't really the students that you had a problem with getting the submissions. It was kind of, we had to work around, you know, you had to give them like an incentive to want to do it. Mm-hmm. You had to give them a reason, you know. You had some of them, they like writing, but they really didn't know how to do it well. So you had to let them know that they would have the proper training to be able to write.
Or constructive way.
The training came from Lindy and our mentors from VCU and other places, and some of the English teachers within the school.
Mm-hmm. So you start out with just a small number of classmates. Did it grow, and how come?
Yes, at the beginning we started off with like 3 participants, myself and 2 others, but then by the time the end came and the book was ready to be published, we actually ended up with about 15 people within our school who was a part of the program, and then we had others who contributed. We had over 500 people to submit submissions.
Wow.
Towards the book.
And this is in what span of time? A year?
2 or 3 months, actually.
2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous amount of communication that's going on. You must have had something that was working that got everybody at your age level interested. What was it?
We came up with different incentives. One was the class who gave the most submissions would have a pizza party, or other classes, you know, you tell people that, you know, you'll feed them.
Right.
Most of them will answer. So pizza was one way, and then other people, we tell them, well, you know, if you do this, you get community service hours for it.
Mm-hmm.
And different programs, if you had an amount of community service, they paid you for it. So that was another way we got some students in. And the other students were just willing to do it because they didn't want to go home in the evening.
Oh. So you do most of the work on this. It would not be in a regular class. It would be after class?
Mm-hmm. It would be after school.
After school. And is that pretty much the pattern all over Richmond, that it's an after-school activity rather than being in an English class?
Yes, each school. George Wythe is a fabulous example, because they went from about 45 submissions in the first year to over 500, which is what Draymond said, because they were very innovative and the students were proactive, and they did come up with fun and engaging ways to get students and the teachers involved. Each school is different,
mm-hmm.
and Podium is what they make it. Each school would meet, you know, after school for a few hours once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools did it 2 or 3 times a week, depending upon the number of students that they had available. And the other thing is, again, I can brag on him because he's sitting here, but I would do it if he weren't. After the project was over in March, the students still wanted to meet and continue on their own to discuss their ideas and to come up with writing and ideas to make Podium better. And that really is the success story for me, is for students to take this tool that we've come to provide them with, and that they take and make it what they will and make it their own.
Truman, when school is over, does this thing still live? I mean, a year from now or 2 years from now, is that still part of you?
Yes. I would like to come back next year and help out as one of the mentors for the program, to come back and give other people guidance and kind of show them what they need to do to get published in the book,
mm-hmm.
so they can be heard by others in the community.
So you're going to be able to do that while you're going to college too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You heard it here first. So now you're committed. I can play this back for you.
You have your own writing that you have done for this particular issue. Would you mind reading it to us?
Yes. The ultimate weapon is the mind. Let it be known that the mind is the key to the locked door keeping you away from accomplishing your dreams in life. All that you need is to light a fire inside your heart and let the mind be your paintbrush and the words that come out of your mouth be your art. And start to recognize the gift and the weapon given to you by birth. Let every word that comes out of your mouth become a masterpiece, a vocabulary explosion, a diplomatic word release, and never be scared to unleash the mind's ability to your advantage in life. Because in the long run, the mind is the ultimate weapon.
You've just heard, the ultimate weapon is the mind. It was written by German Miller, who is an editor and a contributor to the Podium Foundation. I'm Brick Ryder for the Virginia Voice.